Right now we're recording. Cool. Welcome to Highway Diary. I'm your host, Eric Hollbrock. With me, John Rowe, my good buddy.
Hey, guys. Happy to see you in internet land.
It's funny, like, every time, I bum a lot of rides, I'm kind of a vagabond, you know what I mean? So I appreciate
cars
you driving
aren't that expensive. You could get a car.
Well, I'm in the spot, you know, I'm in a spot. I'm a poor grad student. $650?
My last car cost $650.
You hustle them down? They start at $1,000, you get them down?
He started at $1,000. But I was like, hey man, it's a piece of shit. The seatbelt don't work.
But when I got a ride with Byron, I was like, listen, I'll get you Wendy's, boom, boom. And with you, we went right back. With you, you know, I get a ride home with you, it's like we got to kind of check on some girls at a few bars before we go, right home. You know, we're not just going right back, you know what I'm saying? You got to survey the social scene.
I am a slave to the pussy.
Any comment?
On what?
How many ladies you got, like, kind of dangling, you kind of show interest, you know?
At the moment, I only have a half of one. In Kenner, we have sex maybe once a week.
But you're not the regular. You're the side piece for this kind of girl.
I don't know. I think she might be retarded. I don't know. She just calls me when she feels a certain way. She's always like, I'm at work, don't talk to me. You know, she'll text me like explicitly, like, don't fucking text me, I'm at work. I'm like, bitch, you work at Starbucks.
Right.
You're not saving the world. You can take these texts. Will you curse me out while you dealing coffee to people? Fuck them people coffee, bitch.
It's not like she's a doctor doing brain surgery, like, yeah, at a micro level, and then, like, you know, she, like, drops the fucking phone in the cadaver.
Every man, I think, wants to be, like, man enough to tell his girl, like, no more dick for you.
Right.
But we know
I'm turning it off.
No more dick for you ever.
That's your, your island accent, you know. You're from the islands. I didn't know that until the last roast battle.
I am from the islands, you know. You can tell by my hair. I don't know if the people can see it on the voice, but you can tell.
Listen, you posted this to Facebook May 13th, and I want answers. What does this mean? Fuck the iPhone for taking 10 minutes to come on after dying, in which time I could be getting molested and raped, you pretentious piece of shit technology.
First of all, fuck Steve Jobs, school bitch. I hope he's getting raped in heaven. Fuck him. This piece of shit technology that he made. iPhone. I used to be an Android person. Let me turn the island off for a second.
Alright.
I used to be an Android person.
I'll translate for island.
I used to be an Android person. And Android, if you were at 0%, it dies. But when you plug it in, it comes on within a minute at 1%. The iPhone, the pretentious bitch that it is, for some reason needs 5% battery life to come back on for you to do some important shit. Like, save your ass.
Right.
Like, what? I'm getting raped right now. Like in one of those weird Halle Berry movies where I get kidnapped and my phone dies. And it just dies. And I gotta charge it now. Too bad the killer's here. He's here 4 minutes early.
Right.
Now I'm dead. Thank you, Steve Jobs!
I could have got Google Maps and show me where this alley exit is, but instead...
That and the bitch don't help me spell. I was trying to spell the word fondled. I spelled fondled. F-O-N-D-E-L-E-D. One extra E is all I had. And iPhone, it looks at me like it has no idea what I'm trying to... You know what I'm trying to do, iPhone. You know what
I'm trying to fondle some ladies, all right?
One extra E I had. It had no...
Spell check, iPhone.
It said no replacements found. You have no idea what I want to say?
Exactly. At 1 a.m., you have no guess, iPhone, that I don't want to fondle is. I want to fondle, you know?
And that, with the passwords... They want you to have long passwords. I hate iPhone so much. I made my password. They wanted like 14 characters and numbers. I made my password. Fuck iPhone 1.
Just so if they ever have to look, they'll know the record.
I don't even know.
May 11th, you posted this to Facebook. The less time I spend in BR, which I think is Baton Rouge, the better. What's going on? Is Baton Rouge a bad influence on you?
Well, Baton Rouge is a bad place. Unless you go to LSU.
Right.
LSU's not even as good anymore because Bobby Jindal, the bitch, has fucked up the Louisiana economy.
Mm-hmm.
Which is weird. I don't know why he doesn't want our people to have secondary education, right? When his kids are on a... His kids.
Yeah.
His children.
Take a picture for the kid.
His children are on the route to secondary education.
All right.
Now, how can you want better? How can you want worse for your population, your society that you are governing over? Worse for them than your own kids.
Right.
They're taking, he's taking away the public education and it's killing UNO, and he's even going to kill our pride and joy, LSU.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for their football team.
So outside of the campus, it's a bit dodgy in Baton Rouge.
Mm-hmm. I also don't like visiting my parents because every time I see them, they make me feel like a retarded 9-year-old.
I know the feeling.
Mm-hmm. You don't trust any of your
And then decisions. You start acting like a retarded 9-year-old because they kind of like see you through their eyes. Like
you're like, motherfucker, I am an adult. I have more loans and tickets, and I've been in jail, bitch. I am an adult.
I know what's going on.
Diseases you don't even know about.
But listen, you're famous in New Orleans, you know. How's comedy going? You're just in the Dragon's Den, you know. You're friendly with everybody.
I think I'm on a down slope.
You're going down?
I think life is about, what they call edges and wedges. No, waxes and waxes.
Waxes and wanes.
Waxes and wanes. A nigga is waning right now. No, I used to go on Frenchman Street. Everybody knew me. I went on Frenchman Street today, and these white people raped me conversationally.
I was raped. You got near beating.
I got conversationally raped. I was trying to tell them about myself, but they just saw me screaming, and they had flip flops on. I should have stepped on their toes. Those bastards.
Whoa, that's the thing. If someone has flip flops and they walk backwards 2 steps,
I should have stepped on their toes and made it look like an accident. Ah, my bad. I may have critically injured you with your irresponsible shoe choice.
My fault. Yeah, you can't fight in flip flops. You walk backwards, the flip flops are gone. You know, you walk forward, they can kind of stay on by weird
police
physics.
That's why niggas never wear flip flops past 8 o'clock, because we need to be fast, just in case shit go down.
Yeah, and if you need an alley to jump in, you know, you don't need your fucking iPhone taking 5 minutes to recharge and shit. You know what I hate? I hate like things like OnStar. They scare me because it's like if you're about to get, you know. They can control your car from a satellite, you know what I'm saying? So I'm wondering, like, if I buy a car and I go to rob a bank, is my OnStar going to turn my shit off? And it's like, if you buy that car, I want to do illegal shit with that fucking car. Mm-hmm. I bought this fucking car. This car is mine to do illegal shit with. I don't need it fucking the engine going off because, I know too many secrets that the government don't want. Or I stole bank money, you know. I bought that car for me to, you know.
Let's approach this. Let's be honest. First of all, you can't afford a car. All
right. Oh, second wow. All, wow.
It'll be long before you can afford a car with OnStar.
These are problems I don't have. I like complain about things. You know when you like park like 4 yachts, right? And then the neighbor yacht is like, yo, you know, you can't dump your sewage on my deck. I'm like, fuck you, bitch, you know. Problems. I got problems in my life, John Rowe.
We are moving away from the cowboy age where the man was a man and you could do things with your things. They're gonna have guns where, you know, the guns just shut off when you're trying to shoot an innocent person. The gun will know when the person is innocent. But hey man,
he'll read his thoughts before it fucking blows him out.
Hey man, this is a nice person you about to shoot. This is Harriet Tubman you about to shoot right here. We ain't gonna let you shoot Harriet Tubman.
Yeah.
That's probably our next communicator. We're so communicating now. We're just going to communicate so fastly now. They'll be having somebody watching all the guns. Right? They'll just pay people to watch. That's a good idea right there. To put cameras on every gun and just pay these people to watch guns and have the shut off button. Oh, shit. Look, this gun's on right now. And then, right, when you see it, hey, he's about to shoot that poor nigga. Turn the gun off. That poor Negro shit, he said.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a good idea. Or like, no one's willing to fit the bill for that.
Or like, you know, if
lives aren't worth that much yet.
If you're just having kinky sex, you know, and you're just like putting a gun in someone's face and be like, come, bitch.
Mm-hmm. They'll shut that gun off hopefully a lot sooner than it will get to the kinky sex.
Mm-hmm.
Before that. That's a good idea, though. They can do that, though. They can put the Wi-Fi in the guns. Put the Wi-Fi in the guns, yo. That's what John Wilkes says.
So, listen, you twice were at the Sunday roast battle at the La Nui, battling your boy Kyle Smith. You know, two controversial decisions.
Yes.
I kind of see, like, you won the first one, but I thought, wait, how did it go? You won the...
No.
You won the second one. No. Kyle won the first one, right?
Me and Kyle both thought I won the first one. I did also think I won the first one. And now Kyle, now I won the second one, and Kyle thinks he won the second one. But I think I won both of them. I won both of them.
I think both the decisions.
Because John Ross is shit.
I would have went the other way on both the decisions. I'm with Kyle. Whoa, I think man. The one that you won, Kyle should have won. I think that Kyle won, you should have won. But, you know, what I appreciated it, and I think the audience really digged this, and I'm going to battle Fonzie on fucking May 17th, Alex Fonzie. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited for that. I actually need Jackie to help me out because he's got a host.
Does Andrew put one bottle of you? Andrew on battle you?
I don't think he wants
you
to really
ask
talk
him.
To
you
me.
Should ask Andrew to battle. Hey man, I bet you want to do a comedy battle against me though, and I'll roast your twink ass. Don't quote me on that.
I'm not sure if he's, you know, like really wants to talk to me. Like I tried to talk to him like at Siberia like 2 weeks ago, and I said,
but
"Hello,
y'all
sir."
Be,
and
y'all
then
could
like
be
he pretends
like a,
that
like
I'm not
a,
there.
A very weak form of Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather. Y'all could be like a very weak form of that.
Super battle.
Like a very weak format.
You know, I like that. I'm training right now. I'm in the trenches training.
That should
first
be nice.
Alex Fonzie. Look, the invitation's open.
And poke your twink. And we're doing some training too. Should we?
It is weird because you and Kyle Smith actually really like each other. You know what I'm saying? So there's a different vibe.
So I went to jail for him. I'm with Jeff Kyle Smith.
How did that happen? I don't think we got that full story.
Dad motherfucker. I was in my bed in my pajama pants, warm and cozy, on a warm Saturday night.
Minding your own business.
2:30 a.m.
Okay.
Now, Kyle saw my car had an accident. My headlight was out, and my roof, my hood, was bent up. Kyle called me at 2:30. Hey, man, did you come out here and give me a jump? Don't nobody have jumper cables. I'm like, man, nobody got jumper cables. Y'all supposed to be grown men in society. Men in society, y'all got jumper cables. You can't help yourself.
Yeah.
But I heard the desperation in his voice. I heard him tearing up. I was like, he tearing up? I got to save my nigga.
Right.
And me being the ride or die nigga that I am, I rose up out my house in my pajama pants, got into my broke ass car, and rolled down here to Uptown, home of police territory. Try to save this nigga. And I saved him. I made it there. I saved him. Got the jump off. Started my car.
So he was in the middle of the road? He was stranded somewhere?
Oh, he made his way home. And I was on the way back to my house.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Got pulled over by the cops. And I guess I acted too cool. You know, I was smoking a cigarette in his face. I was like, what's up, officer?
You just started blowing smoke in the officer's face?
I ain't blowing in his face, but I ain't put my cigarette out. But he pulled me over while I was smoking. I was like, I'm going to be cool and shit. You know, ain't nothing. Shit.
Right.
That nigga, he didn't like that. He was like, I'm going to put the fear of the police in you. He put me in jail for a while.
How long?
Now, the thing about me being in jail was I wasn't in there that long, but and I got in jail. They was like, what? You're not supposed to be here. They put you here for a headlight?
Yeah.
And half a suspended license? That's all you're here for, man? You're going to be out in a couple hours, man. We're going to put you on the fast track.
What do you mean by half a suspended license?
I paid for half of it. I had the other $100 to get reinstated.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, I'm in here, and the first thing they said to me is, it's only going to be a couple hours. You'll be out, right? Soon, right? I was waiting, and I was having fun, because niggas in jail is crazy. They had these dudes there. They had one white crazy. First of all, everybody in jail is like, that's a little problem. It's some weird shit. What's up,
Jackie?
Everybody in jail, I don't know why everybody in jail is complete insanity, because all them niggas is crazy. Now, you ever go to special class in public school? I don't know if you ever been in public school, listeners.
I have been in public
but
school.
But the special class in public school is basically jail. you wonder what happened to the special kids when you went to, like, in public school. What happened to those special kids? They in jail. That's where the special kids is.
Yeah, they had one room. They stayed in their one room.
They became athletes, so they went to fucking jail.
No, they went to jail. And the ones that are athletes, they wouldn't be in a special class. They'd be, you know. But them niggas, all them niggas were screaming and bullshit. Hey, man, fuck you. And one nigga was drunk. I don't understand how he was drunk for 12 hours. I just realized he was just retarded like that, right? There ain't no way a nigga's drunk until morning time come and just talking the whole time, right? He like, fuck you, let me out of here. I ain't supposed to be here. It's the black one, right?
So how long were you in jail?
12. I was in there 12 from
hours
2:30.
For a headlight.
They told me I would be out in a couple hours. I was there
until the
sun came up.
You went to OPP?
I think it was OPP.
Yeah, that's where I was.
Not deep in there. I was...
They got me on the DWI a few weeks ago.
That's
suspended license and shit.
Oh, yes.
Half a suspended license or a full suspended license?
No, it was definitely full.
Oh, okay.
See, at least I tried. No, my thing is...
Today, I said, oh, you're going to suspension.
No, I paid the ticket part because that's why I was suspended because I didn't pay a ticket. It was a backdoor ticket, right? But I had to go to DMV and give them another $100, but my credit card didn't go through because I can't spend more than $500 a day.
Oh, no.
That ain't my fault. That ain't my fault. Like
half a suspended license.
Like Boosie or somebody said. That ain't my fault, right?
You know what they got me? They got me with only my fog lights on. I didn't turn on my headlights.
What's up, Byron?
It was it. Automated.
You see white people walking on Fresh Street?
Guys, the show is getting started. Goddamn, y'all. We got Indian ladies coming in. We have never had an Indian lady on the what's your name?
You're
the first Indian lady here.
What, you want me to name an Indian lady?
She's your first Indian lady on your show, man. What's the girl's name?
Oh,
I don't know.
Well, what's your name on your show?
And she's still over there?
What?
What's your name on the show?
Highway Diaries.
Highway Diaries.
I'm gonna grab
excuse me, miss, but you are the first. Where are you from?
Houston, Canada, India. Oh my God, hi.
She is the first Houston Canadian Indian on the Highway Diary podcast show.
What is
welcome.
That?
What's your name?
We're recording a little podcast right now, so.
Wait, can I do something?
Yeah, sure.
Whoa, don't do that. You're going to blow out people's eardrums.
Peep popped. That's very uncool.
It sounded like he was sucking a very old person's penis.
Yeah, no.
Very old.
Why do they have to be old? Why can't they be young?
Because it sounded like dust.
I just don't have technique.
It sounded like dust. It's a dusty penis. Got my
you have a piece of dust. Can I grab
it? Or peep popped is like...
a little piece of paper or something. Whoa. What have you been doing?
I've been doing an interview with the podcast. I've told them a lot about my life. My current upcomings and downfalls.
My next question on the list, you know what it is? Hold on a second,
okay.
Sweetie. You know what my next question is? Hey, you performed at Tulane with Hannibal Buress.
Yeah, I did. That was
so
awesome.
Do you want to talk about that
experience? I would love to talk about that, even though Hannibal owes me $45.
He still owes you
$45. Hannibal Buress owes me $45, and he don't pay what he owes me. Fuck him up.
Whoa. I met him. Nice guy, you know.
All due respect to Hannibal Buress and his career, but he can't remember his small debts from drugs. I won't talk about that.
Does he have the money?
Oh.
He does. It's my fault, though.
Well, more of an eighth of weed
type
of deal.
It's weird. Like, he paid me for the comedy part of our night, not the drug part of our night.
Right.
Which I understand. Forgetting we were drunk on the dog part of the night, but you know how you remember your debts. You know how you remember that shit when you
Lannisters, right?
Always.
All right. Well, that's good. But the show went well, and that was a.
And it's fucked up.
So now,
the thing
you
I
feel
sold
like
him was a legal drug. I sold him Adderall, and then I saw him on TV looking skinnier. And I was like, this motherfucker.
It helped.
This motherfucker.
You
been
got his life together.
Not getting your money.
This motherfucker been taking my pills, I can tell. I was like, Hannibal, you looking mighty skinny on TV over there on the Tonight Show. You looking mighty good, huh?
Wow. Blowing up everybody's spot. So it's like, but you had like a high level, you know, show there, and now you were saying at the beginning you feel like you're on a downslope. Is everything on the downslope since that show?
Well,
like that was the peak of John Rose's
career?
It's
not about the show, it's about the girlfriend. I had a really nice girlfriend.
Oh,
she was beautiful. Precious. Lovely. Sweet, too good for me, probably.
All of those things.
But for some reason, she liked me for a time. And that time, I did love myself. But I fucked it up, though.
You got taken advantage
of. No. I did the thing that I guess every human being does when they get too excited and happy, too, like they get too, you know, clingy and too.
Yes. I'm getting excited because I know what you're speaking.
You know, you get like
you got
like,
too
lovey
dovey comfortable.
You like everything about this person. You're like, I can't believe God made you for me.
Right.
And they're like, motherfucker, I don't know you like that yet.
Right. You just pour it on too thick. You show your vulnerable side, and then boom, stabbed right in the dick.
Yeah.
Like, the heart.
I got too much going on in my life. It's not working out for me.
I was at Tatas and Ha-Ha's.
Wow. That's
worst burlesque show ever.
Where's that?
Bare bottom burlesque.
We were at Union Station the other
Most
day.
Most of
the
girls
a good show.
Have no business being naked.
All right. Well, I want
to... Put your clothes back on.
All right. Well, I want
to... Not the way you said it, but yes.
John Rowe, I wanted to tell you something.
He says it meanly, but yes, right, they should put their clothes on.
I just... Listen, you can put them back on, you know?
No, I'm just like, if you want to be naked, at least shave your armpits for me. If I'm naked, I'm going to shave my armpits if I was a male stripper.
Yeah.
Have it all.
They had almost replied, because I need a new job, almost replied to a Southern Decadence male go-go dancer ad.
Mm-hmm. But?
But my boss told me, no, John, they'll do that.
They're going to
molest
you.
I was like, they're not going to molest me. My boss is an old black gay man. He's very cool. They're not going to molest me, Mr. Yo, John. They're going to
touch. A male go-go dancing doing Decadence?
Yeah.
All right, I just
that shit pays though.
I bet it does pay, but
gay men have the money.
All right, well, there's two.
There's nothing wrong with it. It just
is this my fucking podcast? Do you understand that there's a podcast?
It's the Bald Man's podcast. That the Bald Man.
Every time I fucking go to like put my dick in some conversation, you step on my dick. It goes sideways.
Don't you step on his dick? Don't you use your dick?
Don't tell me to use. Not use my. Listen,
you use your dick when you want to.
I'm trying to say that Union Station is a great show.
Yes, go to it.
Amanda G is a badass bitch. She holds that show down,
awesome
and that's a great show. So
it's
I just
awesome
want to say that.
When you edit it.
I know, I gotta take out some when it's fucking nuts for a second. Also, I want to say Siberia Bits and Jiggles. Now it's called Comic Strip.
That's
awesome.
The thing, we need to get that across. If you want to go to Bare Bottom Burlesque, go to Ha-Ha's and Tata's. If you want to try burlesque, go there. They need help.
Why
you want to see some professional, beautiful burlesque, go to professional. They have great, great, great performances and great honed sets of choreographed. No, choreographed. It's very beautifully choreographed and worked on for years. They have amazing talents. Some girls swallow swords and eat fire. It's amazing.
Jesus.
Can I ask why you have to remind yourself at 9:30? What is 9:30?
This is when I had to catch my bus because I don't have a car, so I write 9:30 on my hand. Because then,
good.
You know, sometimes I get stoned, or sometimes, like, I whack off and I take a nap.
And
so I got to know, 9:30, that's a bus.
And did it help
buses
today?
Are a motherfucker.
Yeah, it did.
Well, you're here, aren't you?
I'm here.
Buses are a motherfucker. Because sometimes buses don't even come.
Yeah, I know.
You ever
right?
had the bus not even come? You're like, I'm here.
I know. I'm here at this time.
You can't even yell at nobody. They don't care.
I have to go hunt down my purse. I'm going to leave y'all with this. Why don't y'all go off on whatever
she
that means?
She just left us with a big gold bar of gold!
With some gold!
The Story-matic. What's your name, sweetie, by the way? Just want to give you a shout-out on the
podcast.
Rossica, I just did my one-woman show, Mommy Papa, I Have ADHD.
Ooh, I saw that.
And other things I plan on telling them tomorrow. They're both going to be here. We had my first show here tonight, and it was amazing.
That's a lot in the weed.
Some beautiful people from Mandeville came all the way the fuck out,
whoa.
Which is where they're coming from. And I'm just not sure how they're going to react. So I'm glad I got tonight.
I'm Rostica.
Got it. Without
Rostica.
The part, yep.
Beautiful. Nice to meet you. I'm
nice
Eric Kalbach.
You.
This you were just on Highway Diary, so that's cool.
Oh my god, thank you. First kiss, though, it does say that.
It does say first kiss on the front.
Wax on about
this story magic.
I'm watching your show.
Okay, awesome. Rostica. I gotta Google that shit.
Rostica. I'm changing my name to Rostica. Rostica Room.
Listen. You do a lot of comedy about taking antidepressants. You're trying to find antidepressants. You know, sometimes people worry
about
you, John Rowe. You know what I mean? Sometimes you go a little off the deep end.
What?
We're
people don't
about
worry
you.
About
you. I worry about you sometimes.
Do you worry about me?
Sometimes. you know, you act a little crazy.
I thought we have a crowd for this podcast. Awesome.
I'm just saying, I care about you. What's going on? Are you emotionally stable right now?
I've been making a lot of positive affirmations in my life when I have the time. Which have helped, because recently, before that, I had just a terrible bad luck. I had 3 car accidents in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And was banged up by the world. But, you know, positive affirmations, I challenge the audience to look up that. It's very helpful. I think it helps you have a positive, happier lookout on the life. I am still almost poor, but I'm not that bad. I need some more money. If you're out there and you want to give me money, give me the money.
Just hand John Rowe a sack of money.
You'll see me on the street. I'm
or like an envelope with like 9 hundos in it.
Hell yeah.
John Hundo.
You'll know me by my nostrils. You'll know me by my nostrils.
Yeah, yeah. He's got famous nostrils.
Yeah.
Yo, Bonner, can you find out like when the show's cracking lacking or something like that? Or what's going on?
Where's Billy and Kyle? Bauer is a member of my group, Young Funny.
You know Jack is not going to have any information. I can go pretend to ask.
Right. You go out every night, every single night I see you, you're doing comedy, 7 nights a week. Do you ever feel, this is a real question here, John Rowe. I want you to take this serious. Do you ever feel like there's a law of diminishing returns? Because I for sure do not go out every night. I go out 3 nights a week, 4 nights a week if I'm feeling frisky. I feel like there's a law of diminishing returns if I go out 7 nights a week, because I feel like sometimes my most productive days are writing jokes off stage, and then I can, you know, my most productive day with stand-up is not necessarily when I do 2 shows in a night, it's when I take the night off and I just get serious about writing.
Very interesting question. Now, there are a couple answers to that. One answer is, sometimes I don't go out as serious as you will go out, as you maybe go out. Sometimes I just go out. I've gone out every night, and I feel very comfortable on stage now because I have nothing better to do. And comedy has become my life. I think I always wanted comedy to be my life because I felt it was the best thing I was good at.
It keeps you on a good track.
It was the thing I was best at. And I like doing something that I excelled at. And it's easy for me to do that, so there's no reason for me not to do that every chance I get, every time I get a chance.
Yeah.
If I started, like, every now and then I see myself, like, only compete against myself in my mind. Because ain't none of y'all got it. Can't with the John Rowe. I'm playing. But, like, unless I got, like, some big competition in the city, I kind of feel like most nights, if I want to, I can be funnier or the funnier ass any other comedian. So, man, I just go out. It's become socially more than hard work. It's sad to say more than hard work. Every now and then, I will make it hard work if I have, like, a big goal to reach. Like, when I was doing the last comic standing, I had to do clean material and I had to do a tight 3 minutes. So that gave me a goal to work for. But other than that, I do it like breathing air. You know, it's become like a fish in water kind of thing. So it's like, why do you play chess every day? Like, why do you play Call of Duty every day? Why do you do this? Or why do you play basketball every day, you know? So for me, it's just, I just do it because I can do it. And if you give me a goal to reach, if I have something to like look forward to, like if I have open up for a big person, then I can work harder on doing precise things. But other than that, I'm just playing with it, you know, I'm just playing with it. And it's just life for me. So it became my life, really.
All right, man.
John Rowe, the comedian, became, because I do it every night, so it's just my life. If I don't do comedy, I'm at home, I don't have cable or Wi-Fi. What the fuck am I going to do?
I'm recording, by the way. I'm doing a podcast right now with John Rowe, you know. But it's hard to kind of get him in a little box, you know what I mean? He's a social butterfly.
Anybody else?
It's good, son. They love me, son.
My nigga!
What's up? Oh, thank you.
What's up, Christian?
Hold
up. That is 10%. That's 10.2%.
Oh, you got all liquor in this.
I'm just observing your behavior and calling it appalling. That's all.
Well, I take your criticism.
That's not criticism. That's the truth.
I take it and I put it on a tissue. Imagine a tissue on my hand. This is your criticism.
All in my ass. Wiping it. Your ass. His ass with your criticism, Christian.
In my ass.
So if I call you a man, is that criticism? Are you actually a woman?
I'll take that criticism with a grain of salt.
Maybe you'll get a six shape. Right. Maybe you'll Bruce Jenner when he's 70. You know what I mean? Maybe he'll switch it up.
Hey, you know
you can't put his gender in a box, Christian.
Apparently not. John Rowe. John Rowe can roll anyway, anytime, anywhere.
He's gonna be a woman when he's 75.
I'm telling you, you're right.
You never think you look like anybody.
You'll be a woman soon. John Rowe. You be a woman.
Whoa. Christian, I didn't know you were a world-class opera singer.
Oh. Kind of, I don't know. It's hard to find a relationship. I'm starting to think I'm not in a relationship because girls sense that I don't like myself, which I recently found out. But when
so
I got...
So you're looking for a lady to fix you a little bit? You feel like you need...
Well, I used to like myself more.
Why? What happened?
You know, life. As a man gets older, he experiences more pain. There's a school that said when a man grows, first he watches his grandmother die, then he watches his mother die, and then he watches himself die. And his pain was life. So something like that.
It's a very like French attitude. It's very kind of like avant-garde. It's nihilistic, you know. You don't see any like happiness on the horizon if you keep doing this comedy thing, you know.
Yes,
things
yes,
can, you know, go well, you know.
Yes, I do. But sometimes in life we lose people. Have you ever lost anyone?
I've lost some people, but
you lost some people. But you can lose some people. And I've lost some people too. You got some people you lose, but you're sad and you grieve for a while. But they have some people you'll lose, and you'll think about that person that you lost every day for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And you'll wish that that person was here instead of you. That kind of loss. And that kind of loss is harder to deal with when it's someone who you love more than yourself. When you lose somebody like that, that's when it's a little bit harder to find the meaning of it all in, I think.
I remember you did a set at Always, and you talked about your brother dying, and you also talked about how you didn't give your mom something for Mother's Day or her birthday or something like that.
Well, I thought about not being able to give her a gift that was good enough to replace two kids, you know, to be a feel for that. And, you know, it's hard to do that because I'm the only child now, so it's hard to fill that place, which I have a lot of pressure filling that place for two kids now. So that's hard, yeah.
So you're trying to live both of their lives. So you don't want to miss a night of doing comedy because you're trying to do comedy for both of them.
I do comedy to escape.
Escape what?
To escape the record, because you could be... I had to be that son. I don't like to express myself and be John Rowe as you guys know him. Instead of John Rowe as I'm known at school, or John Rowe as I'm known at home, you know? So it could be who you create yourself to be on stage. That's basically it.
So on that night, you get to, like, manifest whatever life you want to have and to project.
Kind of, yeah. But, yeah, I'm looking for, like, you know, I said I had a nice girl, but I got I needed too much from her, and she didn't have as much to give to me. So I'm trying to fill up part of that hole for myself, you know, just liking myself. Trying to come back to redefining myself. It takes a while to redefine yourself after certain, you know, traumatic. Same thing with people who go to, you know, wars and stuff, and they come back and they have to find their place in society again. Just trying to find your place and your meaning again, because you lose a lot of meaning. You know, you lose a lot of part of what you were living for, you know what I mean? Stuff like that.
You know, when I first started doing improv, I remember thinking, like, improv is my new religion, because whatever I want to do, you can just manifest your life. If you want to be a dog from space who goes to Mars and time travels, boom, you can do that. If you want to be, you know, a Swiss guard who's watching all the fucking, you know, gold in some vault, you can do that. And then you, like, shoot somebody or whatever the scene you want to create, you can do. And I think it's the same thing with stand-up. You can paint all kinds of worlds with your mind and your words, you know, and it feels like it's very empowering, you know.
True. Well, with my stand-up, I'm trying to reach to a different level art form. There's a lot of bullshit in comedy, but there's been a lot of real touching things been said in comedy. I always try to have a meaning behind my jokes, you know. So when I tell something, I want someone to read into the triumph over pain. It's like I like a lot of meaning I just put into my jokes. But, like, yeah, it's all in the workings, though. Still in the workings, you know. Still trying to find out and etch out, you know, you try to find out like all the smartest people have in the world, try to etch out the meaning of it all, you know. That's what it is, trying to find out the meaning of your existence as a person, personally.
And it is weird, just like, you know, money clouds everything, you know, or it's like there's this haze of that responsibility versus what you want to do for your art and stuff, you know?
Yeah, because you need it. You need it, but it corrupts a lot. So you wonder what's better, the true art form or the food. True art or food. True art or eating, true art or paying your bills. You know. Something you always fight with.
We're still recording. This has been like 3 days now, John Rowe.
Time is fluid, man.
We keep seeing each other almost every night, you know. So, rolling out. Rolling with my homie.
Hell yeah.
How you feeling? We're at the House of Blues right now. We're under...
All right, hard day at work, you know.
Hard day at work. Moving some more racist furniture and shit.
No, waiting on bastards.
Waiting on bastards.
The tables and such.
Oh. Where do you work at?
Morning Call.
Morning Car?
Morning Call. It's a coffee shop.
Where's that at?
City Park, New Orleans.
Okay. Oh, is that by the art museum on the side there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I've been there before. So, like, little fancy ice creams and shit?
Beignets, man.
Beignets, ice creams.
Beignets, food, coffee, you know.
That's cool, man.
What you have, man? What you got?
I don't know. Not much. Right? I feel a little fucked up. I got yelled at a little while ago.
Who yelled at you?
Yeah, don't worry. And it's just when I meet new people and they hate me on Facebook, you know what I'm saying? Like, people, you know what I mean? It makes me feel weird.
My dick feels funny.
What happened?
Walk with me. Let's get a drink.
All right.
To my dick, I don't know, man.
What happened to your dick?
Letting it
it's just tingling.
Every time you get like, I don't know, I just pee. Yeah, but sometimes you just get like a pressure in your penis.
Yeah, yeah. Going to walking in a bar. Hey, buddy.
I guess I don't like people that much.
So you're saying during the summertime you feel funky downstairs? And
during
then
the summertime, it's like I'm just trying to be cool, and I don't really want to fuck, to be honest. You know?
Yeah.
Unless I like you personally, so I only want to like I'm not horny.
Going under, being under a fan and just chilling is more important than fucking.
Like, it's weird. Like, I guess my sexuality is lowered so much is that if I don't like you personally, I really don't want to see you naked or have anything to do with your physical, anything. keep away from me. Don't touch me.
How old are you, John?
24. And don't touch me.
Where is a donut compared to, like, doggy style? For you, like, is a donut more?
The fuck is a donut?
It's like a Boston cream donut where it's like chocolate on top. It's fried, glazed.
Are we talking about food or are we talking about sex?
I'm saying, what would you rather, like a Boston cream donut or like doggy style sex during the summertime?
I don't know, man. Like I said, like lately I haven't been desiring the company of any human being. Really,
you're a lone wolf.
And I haven't been hungry either. I don't know. I was like, I don't know what I want anymore.
Yeah.
I would like a fast car. I haven't even been like chatting with girls on Facebook.
you would rather a fast car than a blowjob? You would rather a fast car than a blowjob once a week for the next 12 months? If someone said, you'll get a blowjob once a week for 12 months or this Corvette, what would you take?
Corvette ZR1.
You have the Corvette for a year.
I'd take that Corvette Stingray. That's a sexy car.
Do you feel like that's an investment in future blowjobs?
We should go to a place. Like, let's go to a place with really hot, scantily clad girls and see if I get arisen again. But
so you're saying?
I haven't seen anything that wasn't my appetite. I don't care.
Are you going to do that?
I'm going to take that before we leave, yeah, and I'll probably save that for later.
You're going to save this for later?
Yeah. No, I haven't really been working so much. I've been tired most of the time.
So
So, you know, I've been interested in my jokes. I just...
Yeah, it's interesting, like, you know, like, some people, you know, like, I bum loads of rides, like, I'm kind of a vagabond, you know, like, because I'm, like, kind of, like, poor and shit, and so...
I'm telling you, man, save up $650, you can buy your car.
I gotta bring you to, like, a car place one time and be like, yo, you gotta haggle this guy down from $1,000.
Get on Craigslist, man, they got a lot of cheap cars, man.
Yeah.
Cold in here, the air.
I gotta sell a fucking script this summer. That's what I gotta do.
How much they go for?
Huh?
How much scripts go for?
Between 50. Well, I think if I get between 60 and...
Woo!
200.
Good shot.
But it's hard to get that, you know. But if I sold a script, I got 60, you know, I would for
60,
sure.
60,000?
Yeah.
60,000? Woo!
For a script?
60,000? Nice. You done it before?
No. That's what I'm trying to do this summer.
I should write scripts too. I have amazing dreams.
Do you have any...
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Do you have any dreams that aren't wet dreams?
You've given me enough. Huh?
Do you have any dreams that aren't wet with sweat or cum?
I like it.
You want to get that?
I made a Facebook set about that, but I haven't been really... horny. I'm winning. I'm like,
because you know the aggravation.
We're supposed to procreate the world, and we're supposed to have the sexual desires that makes the babies.
How many times a week do you masturbate?
When I'm horny, man.
No, I'm asking the bartender.
As a woman, or me personally, like, 2-3 at least once a week. Sometimes more, but at least once a week just to make the stress go away.
I read an article that women have a very low, a much lower sexual drive, desire than men do.
So what if you had a husband and he was like, listen, once a day, let me get a nut off. It'll take 2.5 minutes.
Like, this shit
he does go at least once a day.
Your boyfriend?
Yeah, 2.5 years.
Like, just put
once a day.
He still masturbates once a day.
But how much do you help him out? How many times a week do you help your boyfriend out?
I work a lot more than he does, so I normally tell him I'm going to bed and he can take care of it. So.
Like, this is how weird women are, right? Like, men have a very specific thing we like. We like specific sexual things that get us off. But there's a study they did, and they showed women, they showed them man-on-man sex, they showed them girl-on-man sex, and they showed them girl-on-girl sex. And pretty much they all had the same sexual arousal from seeing all these different, you know, sexual acts. Like, basically anything will turn a woman on sexually as long as she knows that they're there for them personally. It's like, women are like, they have a much more emotional...
If two gay guys were, like, blowing each other hardcore, would that be... And they were emotionally connecting, would you be able to masturbate to that?
Like, two guys...
69... Two guys locked in a 69... coming deep in each other's mouths, would you be able to come to that?
That was just a general study. I wasn't on the specific.
I'm sorry, what's your name as the bartender?
Taylor.
Taylor what?
Oh, you're not getting that one.
I'm going to tag you on Facebook when this podcast comes out and shit, Taylor.
Oh, no. That's too much information.
All right, well. Well, we're at Union Station right now, and we're talking to Taylor, the bartender. That narrows it down. Oh, so you don't like to, like, deprive yourself of oxygen for that long to blow them?
Exactly.
But when you do you, like, go after it sometimes? You know what I mean? Is
when
it more...
I feel like it, yeah, I give him the best damn blowjob he's ever had. But most of the time I'm lazy, and it makes my jaw hurt, and I'm like,
Does he come on your tits?
Get off and then go to bed.
I'm a freak. I'm getting a bone there right now. We're recording now, John Rowe. I gotta tell you that. Legally.
What did you want to say?
I had a good time tonight, actually. When you put the whole night in this, I was depressed earlier. We had a good night, I think.
Okay.
How do you feel?
Okay. Could be better.
You know, when other people drive me home, John Rowe, we kind of go, like, more, like, straight home. I'm not...
making any accusations. I'm not making any. But, you know, when I go home with you, it's kind of like, hey, let's stop at 5 bars and see about some pussy.
I forgot about Mimi's.
We didn't even go to Mimi's yet.
I gotta wake up early, though. I only like to go home.
I gotta wake up early. Dude, I have to wake up at 7:55 tomorrow.
I don't have cable at my house, so I don't really have anything to do when I get home.
Right.
Other than go to sleep.
So that's okay. What do you whack off to? Just memories?
I'm not whacking off right now. You know?
You're not whacking off daily?
If I don't have data, you know memories, though. You know what? In fact, let's go to Mimi's. We're going to Mimi's.
You don't whack off, so we're trying to get you off of some bitch.
We're going to Mimi's. You're going to pass by Mimi's.
Can you say the name of some chick that you're trying to get with, or what?
Can I say her name?
Are you trying to go for a specific broad at Mimi's right now?
No, because Mimi's has a lot of new chicks. I need some new life.
Right.
I forgot about Mimi's. Thank you for reminding me. Your podcast has traded you.
But I feel like I've depicted you accurately because I said, hey, like, normally we don't go straight home. We go to, like, nine bars.
I like the chance of new pussy. Because there's always a chance when you go to a bar. Hey, maybe it's your wife or something.
Yeah. Remember the last time we went to Mimi's, there was an Asian guy covered in tomato sauce.
Marinara sauce, yep.
Yeah. We took a picture of that.
This girl, but I was... But I was, you know, she was too smart to just have sex with.
You tried to just go right in the bedroom with that lady.
I didn't even try. I don't know. I would have felt... I don't know. I don't know what I'm looking for. But sometimes I think I might find it.
Are you looking for a booty to fix you?
I don't know.
Do you think the right booty could fix you? Get your mind right?
I do not know.
No Mimi's?
No Mimi's, it looks like.
Is that a Mormon in short shorts?
I don't know. It's a coffee shop right there.
He had a bow tie and short shorts and he was riding a bicycle, so I assume he's a Mormon.
It's hard to have relationships in this day and age. I don't know. Because back then, I think they were a lot less. You would settle for a lot less. But now you're like, shit, bitch, I'm on Facebook. I might Facebook Brad Pitt tomorrow, so fuck you.
I might suck Brad Pitt's dick. How would you feel then? What if you knew I sucked What if you knew I sucked Brad Pitt's dick? Would you still be like, oh, I should have broke up with that guy? Or would you be like, whoa? If I stay with that guy, would that guy not have sucked Brad Pitt's dick? Or would we have had a three-way with Brad Pitt? What's going on? You're willing to do that?
Yeah, his day and age is crazy. A lot of girls, they're just single, but they're okay with it. They say they're not okay with it, but they could change it.
They're okay with what?
Well, being single or
whatever. Being single, yeah, yeah.
And they can change it if they wanted to, but they're like, nah, fuck all these guys. But the guys are like, some of them are the same way. I don't know. A lot less relationships going on, I think, in this day and age.
Yeah. Let me tell you a story.
I have a lot of comedian friends. Maybe y'all bring me down. I think y'all bring me down.
Well, we're all depressed. We're all trying to... The only way we can get happy is by doing good on stage, you know? But mostly we're fucking miserable.
Well, some of them. I don't know. That's the rule. I think that's a dumb rule.
That's how I am. Remember, I was like, hey, we could record before the show, or I can get some laughs and then feel good about myself, and then we would maybe record better.
Yeah.
I did say that for sure.
True. I like to put my happiness based more on money. On money and sex, I guess.
Money and booty is your happiness indicator. If your checking account's full and you just like got a like a empty nutsack, you feel fucking good about yourself?
Yeah, it's hard to get both of those, so I guess laughs will do.
Oh, yeah, I was sleeping on that one. That's easy.
Who's easy?
That's my friend. He's going to be on the podcast tomorrow. That's why I'm going to his house tomorrow morning. And he's still out at 11:30.
You thinking he's alright?
No. He lives right there.
Oh, good. Good. Yeah, man. I was happy.
You were happy.
Yeah, I was like happy being recognized for the work you do, you know. I try to
White Union Station, that bartender who recognized you, every little piece of thing like that kind of flicks you on.
I would like to get a portion of the recognition that the big comedians get. It's a weird proportional thing. Like everybody at the top keeps their top shit, but the people at the bottom, man, they good too. But we don't get nothing. Even though a lot of times we are just as good as, or maybe even better than the other people, but lack of the opportunity. It's all about who got there first, really, I think.
What is your dream job? Is it SNL? Is that your dream job?
If I could make money doing anything comedy related, I'd be much more happier than making money giving people food and drinks. So if I had any job, if I had any job, base level, I don't care if they paid me $10,000 a year. If I could get $10,000 a year doing something funny or artistically related to funny, I'd be happy. Because I think I can grow a lot from that. I feel like if I got an edge into the door, I could knock the door wide open. But it's just hard getting that first edge.
You feel like if you got your big break, you wouldn't fuck it up like other people.
I feel like it wouldn't even have to be a big break. If it was even a small break, give a nigga a corner.
Oh, you're writing for a Cartoon Network show.
Hell yeah. Give me a corner of a break. I would break that open so hard. Right. That you'd be like, oh no, he's too good. They'd probably fire me for being too funny. That's how funny I would be. Because that's, being funny is the only thing that naturally comes to me. Most of the things in this life don't come naturally easy to me. Not easy, but they're not like within my nature, if you will.
Did being funny come to you as like a coping mechanism? I remember my sister, you know, was super funny, and I realized that she could do things that were violations. She could curse in the house. She could do all kinds of things in the house. But if she made my parents laugh, there was no repercussions. Because if she made my parents laugh, that meant that she couldn't get punished if they were laughing. And so I realized that there was like a metaphysical benefit to comedy. Well, and then I devoted my life to comedy.
Well, I think I was just such a plain kid that the only way I can get friends or anything else in life is by being funny. And I got so good at being funny that it just became my main thing to do.
You were a plain kid, so high school?
A plain kid. No, in like a second grade, I remember. Because I didn't really have many friends, even in second grade, until I told like a couple of jokes. I told this one joke I remember the first time I made like people laugh. You remember the first time you made people laugh?
Yeah.
The first time I made people
laugh. What happened in the second grade? How did you make people laugh?
I don't know. I don't know. We were lining up for something. And I said something about the teacher, and everybody in line laughed. And that was like the first time that I got to stand out from amongst the crowd. Now, I guess I always wanted to stand out amongst, you know, out of the crowd. I never liked being part of the crowd.
And you kept obsessing about that one moment in second grade for a long time.
I did it a while, and I did it, kept on doing it. I did it some more, and like, I was never good at being a part of regular population. I was never good at being a regular person, so being funny made sense to me.
And that,
I guess I was always funny, because, you know.
In the 8th grade, when I was 13 or 14 years old, they gave me an award for being the funniest person in the grade. That was a big light bulb.
Nice.
my buddy Jeff Reeves got Best Actor. I thought he was going to get funniest. He got Best Actor. I wanted funniest. I did not give two dicks about fucking Best Actor. I wanted funniest. They gave that shit to me. And ever since then, I was like, if I'm the funniest person in eighth grade, maybe I can be the funniest person in the world. So we went to... No, it was in New York City. So me and my girlfriend went to this gay roller rink in New York City. And the gay guys would roller skate behind me and then put their hands in my back pockets and then try to coast behind me. And then I was like, well, I'm... You know what I mean? But that happened, like, often. This is the left here. This left. Ah, oh, fuck this left.
Yeah, man. As long as they were hot.
It was like mostly the older, like the 45-year-old gay guys were like super keen on grabbing my back pockets and going for a ride.
As long as they were hot or they had money, man. It's all good then. Are you going to pay for my student loans? That's what you said.
What?
You gonna pay for my student loans if I give you this booty?
One of my contemporaries, my peers, said that he was a go-go dancer and he paid for his student loans go-go dancing because there would be these like hoity-toity gay guys that, like, you know, he danced for. He gave them some booty, and then they pay for his college.
If I was in a gay bar and there was a man that was clearly out of my league. Like, you know what I mean? Like, clearly out of your league, and it was really attractive to you.
You can stop right here, and I'll be fine.
No, I'll just take you all the way, man. We rolling. Like, if I was in a gay bar, like, I don't know what kind of gay guys were putting their hands in your pockets. But, like, either if they were very rich, and I could tell, I'd be like, I consider this. Or if they were, like, really out of my league, I would also consider it. Like,
out of your league for a gay guy?
I'm not the anti-homophobic. Where if I see somebody like, damn, this is like the Brad put a gay guy, and he's leaning into me, I'm like, shit, I'm gonna consider this. Like, I'm not dumb.
Right. You would
bragging rights then.
You would consider the financial benefits.
I would take pictures of him and show him the girls. Like, I fucked this guy. You should fuck me because I fucked him. That mean.
But what if he fucked you? You know.
Nah, I can't do that.
But you would you would fuck a gay guy as long as you were the top if it was financial?
Oh, we did some moral stuff. I don't know. Yeah, it's all very intricate. You don't want to get into the gay sex intricacies. It's very intricate. It's just too intricate for this podcast.
I'm saying you would 69 for like buku cash where you would be taken care of.
Now, he would have to have a lot of money.
Yeah.
For that. Because I'm not about to do that. He had to pay all my student loans and then give me some.
But he said,
I would at least have like 5 years of my living expenses, like, taken care of.
But it was like every day we're 69 in, and I'll take care of your student loans and your living expenses in 5 years.
No, man, I haven't thought about it that far. Now you're getting too deep. I haven't thought about it.
I'm trying to be very specific. I'm trying to sign a contract for you that includes 69 every day and 5 years of living expenses plus your student loans.
He was like some kind of weird male model, and he was like, oh, you. Like, if he was like clearly like an Adonis of a man, he's like into me for some reason, I would consider it. Or if he was a very rich man, I would also consider it. Like, if he's like completely, if he's so hot I can get pussy off of him, I would consider it. And if he's like so rich that I can pay for some pussy off of him, like, both of those, I would consider it.
You know what I mean? We learned a lot about John Rowe right now.
Things like, I'm a fucking regular guy. Fuck you, man. I know, even like, not even a superbly above average guy. But, you know, it's. I think there are also insinuating circumstances where I'm not. I would think about it. Think about it. Like, if Brad Pitt wanted to fuck you as a rich, handsome man, would you not fuck with Brad Pitt? Like, if Brad Pitt was in a roller bounce and he and like got, you got Brad Pitt's hands in your pocket, you're like, Brad.
If he was in a bouncy house, if we were both in like a bouncy castle.
He was in the roller rink with you. You skating in New York City and you got Brad Pitt.
Brad!
You got your hands in my pockets, Brad. You know you wouldn't tell Brad, man, get your hands in my pockets. You'd be like, damn, Brad, what you trying to do?
I would say the rigid bounds of my heterosexuality would start to crumble.
Mm-hmm, maybe. Mm-hmm. You'd be like, shit. First of all, I'm about to fuck Brad Pitt. That's some... I think I can get some pussy off that. Second of all, Brad Pitt is paid. this is going to be a good deal. It's a good night. Fuck these bitches. Fuck these. I wasn't pussy anyway.
This one, pay Caucasian.
That's a nice man. I love your movies, Brad. You'd be like, I love your movies, Brad. Why you got your... You would flirt back with Brad. That's all I'm saying.
I would flirt with
Brad. If Brad Pitt started flirting with you, you would flirt back. That's all I'm saying.
I'm saying he would. He could pee on my forehead, probably.
Exactly. For sure. I'm saying if Brad started flirting, you'd be flirting back. And she'd be like, Brad, what's up, man? What's up?
Standing here with John Rowe.
Badass motherfucker. You know, yesterday, a handsome white man told me that I was...
A handsome white man.
He
didn't have a beard.
Yes.
Stubble beard.
What,
he had a very full beard. He was like 6'3". He looked like Superman on a vacation.
Ooh, that's a good handsome man right there.
And what did he say to you, Jama?
He said that he saw me at Tulane show. He said, man, I loved your set on the where you opened up for Hannibal. I thought you were even funnier than Hannibal. And I was like, thank you. I also think I was funnier than Hannibal.
A laugh is priceless. You can't get no better laugh.
It's kind of like evil but cocky, yeah. But you're kind of with him in, you know, it's confidence.
Cynical. A little cynical because you know you're doing something bad. You're doing something bad.
Fucking
burst. See, there it is right there. See?
He mentioned that loads of times.
$45, and since that debt, that $45 debt, he's not been in town. I like, pay for your drugs. Pay for your drugs. And then I sold him some drugs. I sold him Adderall, and Adderall is weird.
Oh, don't get specific, man.
I sounded like Rick James in
this
bitch.
Because the only reason I said that.
Shut up.
Get out of here, you stupid.
Hey, man, my fucking beard, dog. Don't put your hands on me. Of course.
Don't put your hands on my equipment, Kenneth Harris.
And this is what happens when Mr. Harris comes around.
Don't put your hands on my equipment.
Is Adderall. Because I saw him on the Tonight Show looking mighty skinny. Wow. And I'm like, nigga, you been taking them drugs, huh? You look like you're about 5 pounds lighter on the television. And TBS 10 pounds. You probably 20 pounds. You need to pay me my $45, which was a meager sum. And he forgot about it. But it's been too long. It's like weird something to ask somebody famous about. It's like, it's not even a lot of money, but it's like, to a person like me, I need my $45. That's like a good steak.
You understand? He's trying to play good cop, bad cop with you.
If your dick was bigger, I'd kick you in your dick.
But it would take you like 4 kicks to find it.
4 kicks. That's for the next roast.
Ah, fuck that. I give it 5 at a possible.
Finally, like, hooking, you gotta dig deep in his mangina to get his fucking dick.
I found it. I wish you would get a haircut.
You died yesterday.
Look at that. It fits him, though. He's got a quiff and everything, son. The quiff, the fucking vest, and the key of keys, nigga, is more banging than your outfit, son.
He look like
just because you got this horse on your shirt, nigga, you always got the same
shoes. You got them new shoes you got,
nigga,
on?
You haven't bought new clothes since 2008.
You got a blue shirt. I have a wardrobe.
Last time you bought new clothes
came out the garbage.
Look at the last time
look at this blue long sleeve with olive pants.
Yeah, wardrobes don't accrue money. You know what I mean? Wardrobes don't accrue. It's not an investment.
He got a weak supply of superhero shirts.
Don't nobody wear polo no more, nigga. I told you yesterday the horse is dead. Nigga, don't nobody wear polo.
It is not 2007.
Did you have fun last night at the Roast Battle?
I had a lot of fun too. I have not had that much fun at a comedy show. Loose.
I know.
You had fun dying?
Hey, man, I had fun dying. You got massacred. The show wasn't fun until I got on stage.
That was not it. The show was a whole lot of fun, and then you got on stage, and it became funner.
Exactly.
So,
I made it funner.
No, motherfucker, you understand that people willingly wanted you to get roasted even more?
Hey, that's fine.
That
no
wasn't even
supposed
to be part of the bit. You just fed yourself into it.
I have no problem with that.
You should have.
So when you were at a sitcom about how terrible he is as a being,
always comes over, ruins everything.
Bitch, you on box? Bitch, I put my hands.
Come here, bro. Two seconds. Yo, this has been another episode of Highway Diary in the motherfucking bag. Thanks to my guest, John Rowe.
Hey, whoa.
I fell down.
Oh, man, you got ash on me, dude.
I burnt him.
Oh,
I burnt the host.
Hell yeah, burnt the host, yo. I don't care.
All right. Thanks, buddy. Thanks for being on the show.
What?
Stop playing
with that bullshit, bro.
I'm not
playing, pal.
I'm not playing.
Why you not playing?
He got a third of it. You ain't got but a zip, bitch.